Welcome back to Let's Get Busy, presented by the Kutztown University Small Business Development Center. We're here with Dennis, the owner and operator of Arita's here right in town. How are we doing today, Dennis?
We're doing great.
Good. So what was your journey like? How did you get into becoming a franchise owner of Arita's? Because I know you have this location and also Hamburg.
Yeah, it's actually a long story. It goes back to late 90s when I first started thinking about opening Arita's franchise. And at the time, though, I had young kids and, had a corporate job and all that kind of stuff. And my wife wasn't real sure about taking that risk.
Right.
So I kind of put it in my back pocket. And over the last 20 years, every time we drove past Arita's, I would tell my wife I could have owned that. and then when the pandemic hit a couple of years back, we just started deciding maybe we wanted to do something different. I was working in pharmaceuticals, and my wife was working in healthcare, and we just didn't want to be there anymore. And I turned to my wife and I said, "Hey, I remember that idea I had 20 years ago." And so we dove both feet in and opened our first one in October of 2022 in Hamburg.
That's awesome. Yeah. That one's still going today?
Still going today, going strong. This one in Kutztown does better. We have the advantage of having the college right here, so that
right.
Certainly helps.
Yeah.
They're both doing well.
Yeah, that's awesome. What inspired you to open up this Kutztown location? Was school a big driving factor for that?
The Kutztown location, the school is a factor for sure, but it's also where I live. So we moved to Kutztown about 5 years ago. We lived in Mukunji. And, when you open a Arita's franchise, they really want like that local flavor. Every franchise to kind of have its own local feel to it, and so we definitely wanted to be in Kutztown.
Right.
It just so happened that the Hamburg opportunity opened before the Kutztown one did, and then this one came available for us afterwards.
Wow, that's really cool. What kind of struggles are you dealing with in the first few months here?
The very first few months, the struggle is just you have all new employees, and like they can't really do function independent.
Right.
And so like the first couple months, I think I was here 12 hours a day for two straight months, burning the candle hard, getting home, going to bed, getting up and coming back. And that was rough, but we're getting that under control. So it's getting better.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know we're in a space here that most readers don't have that at least I've been to. So what kind of like catering, events can you do in this space? I'm not certain of this,
but it may be one of the biggest Arita's franchises out there. More and more Arita's are opening in space where in the past it used to only be a walk-up window. And then when we rented here in Kutztown, this building, we had actually more space than we needed.
Right.
So we decided to create a party room. We do a lot of parties with kids' birthday parties, end of season teams that'll come in here. We're doing jazz nights in here now with the university. So we have.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We have the students that are in the jazz club or whatever it is at the university that come here every couple weeks now in the spring here. So a lot of different things. We do off-site catering too. So we, we do these big 5-gallon containers. You may have seen them on campus for certain days. There's an additional catering license that you can get with Arita's where you can actually become a mobile unit. Like you can buy a truck and do all that kind of stuff. We haven't ventured down that path yet, but
not yet.
Maybe someday.
Gotcha. So how would you say, I know you said like the jazz band from the university comes over and performs. How else would you say you incorporate yourself with the university?
We're a major sponsor of the university. We did a sponsorship package with them at the end of last year, so you'll probably see our signage all over the place, specifically with the athletic department, on the football stadium, in the basketball arena, baseball fields. It's been really great working with the university. I work a lot with the community outreach person, Amanda Garcia. to do catering events on campus and to support them with whatever needs they might have on campus as well.
Right.
We did a college night here last year, which I'm anticipating doing another one in the spring, where we stayed open after our 10 o'clock hours just for the college.
I remember that, yeah.
offered a discount that night and was overwhelming response. Like, we had lines to the back alley for hours.
Really?
It was really cool. So,
that's awesome. Yeah, I know. We played football, so we saw the signs on the new scoreboard, all the Rita stuff, and you could tell, like, definitely you're new here. But you still really are engaged in the local community, and that we think that's awesome.
Yeah, we do stuff with the high school, middle school as well, and
right.
Anything we can to be involved in the community. We just sponsored the Kutztown Cruise for the summertime.
Right.
So, yeah, we try to be involved as much as we can, give back as much as we can.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the SBDC podcast. Now, if you are a small business owner or work at Kutztown University and would like to become a guest on the very podcast, you can contact us at azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Again, that is azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Now, back to the show.
Yeah. Do you see that you're busier in school sessions, even though that the summer is really your peak hours, I would think?
Yeah, this shop is definitely unique compared to Hamburg. We typically see a pretty good college crowd later in the evening, mm-hmm. Where most shops are kind of quieting down. We're just firing back up.
Right.
between that kind of 8 and 10 p.m. period. So that's definitely a bonus here. And then in the summertime, one of the things I totally didn't expect is I didn't realize how many camps there were here at the university.
Right.
So everything from band camps to athletic camps. And so that kept us hopping at night as well.
Yeah, we would come after work all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So what's like a typical day look like for you as a franchise owner of two shops?
I'm still figuring that out, to be honest with you, but I think we're starting to dial into my wife and I. My wife runs the Hamburg shop primarily,
mm-hmm.
Where we kind of created almost a normal work day for ourselves, come in early in the day, usually a couple hours before open, kind of get things set up and reestablished, and are here during the day, during the weekdays. We're here on the weekends when we need to be. We don't always need to be, but sometimes we do. And then, you know, there's a lot of extra things that people don't see, all the back end stuff, the accounting and all the things that come with that. So,
right.
The other thing I always say is, like, when you own a Rita's franchise, if you're a hands-on owner, you're on call. Because like if you're not here, if something's going wrong, you're going to get a call. If somebody, you know, calls off, you're the one that has to usually go in and take it over.
So right.
It's a pretty big commitment.
Yeah. So more into that, like, what are the insights of having a franchise from like the Rita's corporate, and do they support you?
Yeah, so they're really helpful in the beginning phases of helping you to find your location, helping you spec out how your store should look. They helped with real estate lease negotiations here. And then once you're open, getting ready to open, they send in a team to help train up your staff, get you off the ground on the right foot. And then we also have a dedicated consultant. So, you know, anytime I'm having a problem or issue or concern I can't resolve, like, I can take it to the consultant and they can help on the back end get things done for us. So, yeah, it's a great organization to work with and get support from. For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds like it. That's not what I was expecting, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, you do a lot of things yourself, but they support you along the way.
Right, right. Yeah, that's awesome. So do you have the freedom to pick your flavors, or is it kind of like they give you a set one?
Yeah, no, we pick our own flavors and make our own changes. the customers really are the ones that dictate how that goes.
Right.
Like, for example, if I ever took mango out of the dip box, I'm sure somebody would be yelling at me. And there are certain flavors that certain people just always want to see. And you can't do them all. We have like 70 flavors. Up to 14 at a time is what we will have in. So yeah, I'm responsive usually to customers. If I hear somebody, you know, multiple people asking for the same thing, we'll try to get it in there. We make them every day, so we can change them every day if we want to.
Right. What's that process look like, making the water ice every day?
Well, we basically we have a big machine that we dump water, sugar, mix, and sometimes fruit and other things into, and that turns it into the ice. So we don't have an ice machine, which a lot of people are surprised by. Like, they come and ask for a cup of ice. We don't have ice. But
that's
surprising. it's several hours a day to make ice, probably 3-4 hours a day making ice. So it's kind of takes me back to the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial. Get up in the morning, time to make the donuts. That's kind of how I feel when I come in here.
So I'm from South Jersey, and my roommate is up from Scranton. And we get in this debate all the time. Is it water ice or Italian ice?
Well, the original from Philly was water ice. Right. So, like, that's probably what most Philly people and surrounding would say. But the actual name on our product is Italian ice. So
gotcha.
You can go with either one, and you'll still get something good.
I was going to say, I worked on the beach a couple years ago, too, selling ice cream. And I would say, like, oh, I have water ice. And people would be like, what is that? What is water ice?
Yeah, no. Like, I hear it all, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with the university and having people from different places.
Right.
You
everyone pronounces it differently.
Things. Yeah.
So what is your most popular flavor? You said the mango?
It's mango by far. We make twice as much mango as we do any other flavor.
Really?
I don't know why. I mean, it's a great flavor. I think it has something to do with the consistency of it, too. It's got a cool consistency to it, and it's always kind of consistent.
Right.
But yeah, by far and away, that's the one you can't take out.
Yeah. I mean, I like that one too. So. I'd be a little mad if that was gone.
Yeah.
So are there any upcoming innovations or new flavors that some fans can look forward to?
Yeah. So we just launched this past week our Sour Patch Watermelon. Rita's is starting to do more partnering with well-known brands. So we're going to have a Nerds Grape at some point this year and a Kool-Aid Tropical Punch coming out. So yeah, they're always trying to innovate some new things. And then they also are good at inventing some of their own things. So I don't have any insights into those yet, but those are the ones I know about.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I did notice that too, that like Rita's has branded themselves with a lot of other companies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the other things that they've created recently that are recent new things, the frozen coffees,
right,
that was a trial last year. They've decided to make that permanent. The frozen lemonades, that's another thing that they were playing with last year but have made permanent. So
right. Wow. What advice would you give to someone interested in opening Rita's or a franchise of the frozen treat industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing to do is probably to talk to a Rita's franchise owner and really get the real skinny. I'm currently, for the last year and a half, I've been talking with a guy who's opening one up by Lake Wall and Pulpac.
Okay.
And so, like, I've kind of become an unofficial consultant to him. Like,
right.
He'll call me and say, hey, what about this? And, like, how do I look at that? You do need to contact the franchise itself if you're seriously interested. And they'll do an actual interview to make sure that you're the kind of person they want running a franchise. And then they do kind of a meet and greet kind of thing at the beginning. There's a lot more to it than most people think. And there's a lot more cost to it than most people think.
Yeah, yeah, I could imagine. So how much water ice are you sitting around eating all day?
I shouldn't say this on a Rita's podcast, but I love the custard, and I eat a lot more custard than I do ice.
Gotcha.
But I personally like the cream ice is the best.
Which ones are those?
So the cream ices are made with a cream additive, and they're like a creamier version of the regular Italian ice.
Okay.
So like right now, the strawberry cheesecake is out there, and that's a cream ice. So it's a creamier version of the Italian ice.
Gotcha.
I like banana split cream ice a lot.
Is that popular to put with gelatis?
Yeah. I mean, you can go either way with that, right? You can go vanilla or chocolate, and it's still good.
I wouldn't know. I don't like ice cream, actually.
So. No? That's too bad.
I mean, I could sit there and eat an entire tub of the water ice, but as soon as you put ice cream on it, you lose me.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I talk about that when people ask me, like, working on the beach when I was selling ice cream. They're like, oh, how much did you actually eat? I'm like, I didn't like it, so I didn't eat my own product.
I mean, even before I owned Aritas, I'm pretty much an everyday ice cream eater. So.
Hello, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this episode of the SBDC podcast. Now, if you are a small business owner or work at Kutztown University and would like to become a guest on the very podcast, you can contact us at azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Again, that is azawo231@live.kutztown.edu. Now, back to the show.
So what has been the most rewarding aspect of owning this Rita's franchise and the one in Hamburg?
The best part of it is just kind of the freedom from, you know, the corporate world and all that stuff. Although we are attached to a corporation, they really allow you a lot of freedom to run the business.
Right.
There's guidelines and regulations and things that you got to follow, but just kind of being free from the daily grind and on being on somebody else's agenda all the time.
Right.
That's the best part about it. I've always thought I wanted to be an entrepreneur and just never had the courage to take the plunge. And it's probably the best decision I ever made. I mean, we pretty much took our life savings and invested it into this, so we have to succeed.
Right.
One way to make sure you're going to work hard is to make yourself have to succeed. But the freedom from all of the schedules other people put on you is probably the best part.
Right. That's really cool. And I know we talked a little bit about it. You have the freedom if you want to, like, mix three different flavors together or something, make like a mystery treat. Do you have the freedom to do that?
Where the regulations come in. You cannot vary anything from the recipes that they give you. And so, you know, you can't really be an experimenter or a scientist of any kind. But that doesn't stop our customers from being creative.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of customers that'll say, hey, how many ices can I put in a cup? Like, I mean, we don't care. As many as you want, as within whatever we can fit.
Right. So,
and, you know, things like the concretes and the blendinis, like, people can get really creative with those.
Right.
Deciding what they want in them.
Well, what is a blendini?
Blendini is custard, a topping, and ice blended.
Gotcha. I've always seen them, and I thought it was just like blended up ice. And I was like, well, what's the point of that?
It's kind of like taking a gelati and mixing it up, but putting a topping in it.
Right.
Because a lot of people will get a gelati, and when it starts to melt down, you know, they'll like mix it all up together.
Yeah.
Well, that's now a gelati blender. We have that too. So we'll mix it up for you in advance.
Oh, that's funny. So how would you say is people can best support you, besides obviously giving them your patronage, but?
I mean, I think it's just continuing to come. You know, they always have the first year kind of excitement of like, wow, we got this new thing in town and all that. And, you know, you would expect that some of that dies off. But, you know, just people being consistent. We have a lot of regular people that I see all the time.
Right.
And, you know, that's what we live on, is people wanting to be coming back, being part of things here, you know, events that we have, like the Jazz Night, supporting those kinds of events. Because if we're doing something for the community, we hope that the community will come and support that thing that we're helping.
Right.
We're going to be doing a dog adoption day here in May on, I think it's May the 7th.
Awesome.
So they're literally, it's going to be a pet rescue, going to bring some pets here. And we're always looking for those kinds of opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many times I've had somebody say, would you ever consider it? I'm like, yeah, I'd consider anything. You know, like, anything we can do to be a bigger player and a bigger partner to the community.
Right. That's awesome. You always have an open mind to it.
I had somebody bring a singer here for her birthday party, you know, and they were out on the patio playing music and whatever. So
that's pretty cool. And I know, like I said, we were on the football team, so we knew you supported us too. I think in camp one day or something, our coach just got like a bunch of barrels of the water ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good day. Oh, that's funny. So I know you said like how Rita supports you and they help you get like the franchise and stuff, help you find a lease with the building. But I know I've heard that Kutztown actually has like a board that you kind of got to get approved by. Is that true? To have a business here?
Well, I mean, pretty much any town that you go through, you have to go through zoning. And that was literally the very first step that I had to take when I found this location, was to go to the zoning people and inquire if this can even be what I want it to be.
Right.
I think there's has been a long-standing belief in the community that they won't allow franchises in Kutztown.
Yeah.
And the response I got was, I don't know why people think that. I think it's more that they want, they don't want anything that's going to overwhelm the town with traffic and things like that. There is a Dunkin' Donuts on the other end of town. There's rumors of a McDonald's possibly on the other end of town. That was just discussed in a local township meeting. So I think, you know, they're opening up to more ideas. I think what makes Rita's a little bit unique is that they're generally owner operated, and the owners generally live in or around the town. So it's not like someone from another state is putting it here and just hiring people to be here to run it. And it's important to Rita's too, that they have that kind of community involvement as a brand for them.
Yeah, and that's like one of the reasons when we were talking about interviewing you and having you on our podcast was that Rita's is like the massive creation that you're still a small business owner.
Correct. And yeah, I mean, we financed it all ourselves. They didn't help us in any way with that.
Right.
From a construction standpoint, they give you the specifications, but you have to oversee what's happening. And so it's truly a small business ownership thing, but with the support of a really big name. And I've had a lot of people ask me, like, well, why didn't you just open your own ice cream shop? Why do you want to pay Rita's? And the reality is that the brand awareness of Rita's is so huge, especially in the Northeast. And people love it. Like, I mean, there is a lot of people that just absolutely love Rita's. So could I have done it cheaper on my own? Probably. But, like, as effectively? No. And as efficiently? Probably not.
Right.
So it's really good to have the backing of a big brand name and have all of the things they've already learned and put in place already set out in front of you. It just makes it so much easier.
Right. Yeah, it sounds like it too. And I think it's definitely beneficial to have something like that because you are a small business owner, but you're still supported by a bigger brand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so any favorite memories so far?
Opening days are always like something you'll never forget. Like the opening day here, you know, we had a massive line outside and you're waiting until that 12 o'clock hits to like open the door.
Right. I think I remember that. We worked up here in the summer and I remember driving by and seeing a ton of people out here. And I'm like, leave work. Let's get some reviews.
Yeah. I mean, you've got those people that want to be known as the very first customer. So you know, we had an indoor and an outdoor. So we had a first indoor customer and a first outdoor customer.
Gotcha.
So opening days are always memorable. And then we do fundraisers here every Tuesday night, and a lot of those are just always memorable for different reasons. We've got everything from elementary schools coming in and they're excited to see their teachers behind the counter.
Right.
To like the rugby club that came in here and did their songs and chants, you know. those nights are extremely memorable as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds really cool too. What is like the dead period for you when you close in December?
We closed, last year we closed the day before Thanksgiving was our last day and then we reopened on Valentine's Day. This is a good question because the Rita's required opening model is the first weekend in March to the first weekend in October. So because we have indoor areas here, we're able to extend those seasons. But it gets pretty darn slow come November once it gets cold.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of people that ask, why do you not stay open year-round? And there's a couple reasons. One is it just gets very, very slow. It gets to a point where you're starting to hit break-even points are hard to hit. But also, it's a grind business. When you're an owner-operator, you're 7 days a week employed pretty much the entire time you're open. And we don't close at all. Like, we're going to close on Easter Sunday. That'll be the only day we're closed this whole year.
Wow.
So the other part of it is it's a chance to kind of rest, recover, get ready for the next year.
Right.
But yeah, we're pretty solid in the time period we're open. We decided to open on Valentine's Day because, like, a lot of people don't know when Rita's opens.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think it's first day of spring.
That's what I thought.
But the actual open is the first weekend in March, and then we chose Valentine's Day just to make it like a landmark day that people would remember.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really smart.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought for the longest time, too, was that you just opened on the first day of spring.
Yeah.
How was that this year? Busy?
It was. They always are. It was a little colder this year, so I don't think it was as busy as it maybe would have been if it was hot, but we still served like 1,400 customers that day here in Kutztown. So, yeah, it's nuts.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you again for letting us interview you and doing what you're doing for our community, for local small businesses. That's all awesome.
I appreciate you guys coming by and learning all about it. And I'm looking forward to the next football season.
Right. Awesome. Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.